to let her. Oh, no.
That's right. Yeah. So she doesn't have to wait to go around.
That's good.
Yep.
Hopefully she'll be here. That's my bag.
Where's my
bag?
Wait a minute.
What did I do? Oh, mine is here.
Okay.
On my computer there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you don't want to leave. Perfect. Well, this is great. I'm really glad that you're
yeah.
Our, yeah. Of course. No, we're
yeah, our training is supposed to be called MCHWL.
There you go. There you go. Oh, you are. Okay.
Hi. Okay. Hi. I'm Joan. I'll be moderating.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Okay. And?
Yeah.
And for the purposes of introduction, I got Division of General Pediatrics at Boston Medical
mm-hmm.
Center. What is your title there?
I'm an assistant professor. So I'm just a surgeon. Assistant professor of pediatrics.
Okay.
And at the Division of Boston University School of Medicine.
Okay. Boston University Medical School.
Boston University School of Medicine.
School of Medicine, okay.
And then
you, any background information you'd like me to share?
And then I'm the director of the Breastfeeding Center at Boston Medical Center. So yeah, just take that bit. Just call it
director
of the Breastfeeding Center at Boston Medical Center.
Director of the Breastfeeding Center at Boston Medical Center.
Yeah.
Any other background information to share that you'd like?
I got my undergraduate degree in English at Cambridge University. Nothing to do. And I used to work for the BBC.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah. In English from Cambridge University.
Cambridge.
Okay. And worked for the BBC at one time.
The BBC?
I used to work for the BBC.
I used to be
just...
Oh,
but
okay.
Don't do that bit.
No. Hey, darling, we need journals.
Yes, I know. Well, it's actually not all that different,
really.
That's
what
true.
What I'll do is I'll put this in front of you and there's 2 minutes to go.
Okay.
I've got to get...
The regular 12 minutes.
Well, we only have 4 speakers, and they're scheduled for...
Hi, I'm Carrie White.
I'll be moderating. So we only have 4, so you really do have one.
Okay.
I'd say 15 to 20.
Okay, good.
Anyway, I'm the last one.
You are the mom.
It doesn't matter.
Carrie, I've got you as being from the Department of Sociology, the Population Research Center at University of Texas, Austin.
Yes.
And your title there?
I'm a grad student.
You're a grad student. Okay. And any other background information you'd like me to share?
I have a master's in
here. Yeah. Okay. You're working on your doctorate?
Yes.
Okay.
And
there she is from?
Tulane.
Tulane. You're working on a PhD. Okay.
So instead of the MT.
I can do that.
Okay.
And I'll just put this one. It's about 2 minutes to go.
Okay.
If not gone over. I mean, if you still
so we know that we need to get
wrap it up.
Moving.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. I mean, all this one.
Cooler.
Sit here, or are you sitting here?
I'm going to sit here, so you can sit where you'd like.
I like to sit here.
Okay. I'm excited about this
great
session. My background is in administration at the Public Health Department in Indianapolis, but at one time...
You're an RD also.
Yes, I am. I worked at a... at one point where I did breastfeeding promotion for the state of Indiana.
Oh, right. Breastfeeding
in my
past
life.
Past life.
But it was one of my first jobs early in my career, and I just really loved it.
You got some insight of the past life, you know, complex, you know, it seems like it's not easy to...
No, I worked in WIC, so...
Oh, you worked, okay. Now, this, most of these are not... I want to give you some insights that put you in mind in consideration.
Okay.
Okay. That's the purpose of coming here, not in to show up on
feedback. I'm looking for feedback on
how to, because we we are finding a amount of low income, within the low income group, we have a low income strata where you see the best. So what are the strategies?
Okay. Strategies.
Right.
To target the various income
strata. Right. Without being too, you know, discriminatory or something like that.
Yeah, but your abstract talks about within that low income. Promote breastfeeding.
Exactly. Really, we're listening.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay. Yeah. If I hear.
If our colleagues, any of them, come, then I'll tell them.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no, Mary Catherine. Mary Catherine. She's our colleague. Yeah.
Colleague at
Johns Hopkins.
So who is the first one?
The first racer is
Anne.
It has a pointer.
It has pointer here.
Yeah.
As well as it has a
pointer.
Thank you.
What's the pointer
fitting
in the middle?
The pointer is the red one.
Oh, okay.
The other one is your path forward, the right side, reverse.
Okay,
back.
Since she's got to set it up,
right,
up
right.
That way, I guess
exactly.
Everyone needs to use that.
They could use that. Otherwise,
does the other one work too?
Yeah, but the mouse, you have to stand here.
Oh, gotcha.
You can sit in your
more,
place. Oh, unless you want to come and stand and talk, that's fine also.
You want a podium behind you, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That also moves.
Yeah.
Which was good, so tomorrow I can see the city.
Okay.
Usually when I go to a place, I'll never see the city around.
Yeah, yeah, this is the city you want to see.
Yeah. And Wednesday I have other presents, but I don't know. Because it's not in the other booth, you know, that's
right.
Here I don't think it's a problem. I see the city sitting outside. You know, there are people. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. was pretty successful. People were coming back for those.
The protest this time they had done, they widened the space.
Oh, they were too close.
Yeah, this was quite busy. It's like a two-way traffic or something.
Yeah.
People to move around.
And I think it's good to have them in the exhibit hall like that.
Yeah, this is a huge effort.
It's good. This is a good none of the. There's been room for everybody. Mm-hmm. There's been some sessions where they can't stand.
Right, right.
Good afternoon. We'll go ahead and get started. My name is Joan Trundell. I'm from the Marion County Health Department in Indianapolis and serve on the Food and Nutrition section, who is a sponsor for this session. Welcome and thank you for coming to the session entitled Breastfeeding, Understanding the Challenges of Initiation and Duration. What I'd like to do is introduce our four speakers and then have them come up and do their presentations, and we'll hold questions until they've all completed their presentations. Our first presenter is Ann Meerwood. She will present hospital education in lactation practices, Project HELP. Anne is assistant professor of pediatrics at the Boston University School of Medicine, and she's the director of the breastfeeding center at the Boston Medical Center. As far as I asked each if there was any background information of interest, and Anne provided the information that she has her undergraduate degree in English from Cambridge and worked at the BBC at one time. So her career path brought her to lactation in a different way than most. Our second presenter is Dr. Alina Clark. She will be presenting evaluating the feasibility of using single-user electric breast pumps to increase breastfeeding rates for the WIC participants. Alina is assistant professor in the dietetics program at University of Northern Colorado, Greeley. And her primary area of research is maternal and child nutrition with an emphasis on breastfeeding. Our third presenter is Carrie White. She will present acculturation, education, and breastfeeding duration along the U.S.-Mexican border. Carrie is a graduate student in the Department of Sociology and the Population Research Center at University of Texas, Austin. Carrie has an MPH from Tulane University and is currently working on her PhD. Our fourth presenter is Dr. Joy Nanda. His presentation is entitled Relationship Between Income Distribution and Breastfeeding Initiation Rates in a Low-Income Population, a 3-year comparative analysis. Joy is an epidemiologist in the Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He has 30 years of experience in the field of maternal and child health and is particularly interested in feedback from the audience on strategies for promoting breastfeeding among different income strata. So that's an interest of his. So with that, we will have Anne come up and begin our session. Thank you.
Thank you to the food and nutrition section for hosting this breastfeeding, very important session. I'm going to talk today about hospital education of hospital providers and how that affects lactation practices. I have no relationships that I'm willing to talk about or that I have anything financial to declare about, but this study was funded. It was funded by two local agencies, the Theodore Edson Parker Foundation and the Drain Foundation, both of which are in the local Boston area and were interested in funding it for reasons of low breastfeeding rates in their areas of interest. So as the CDC and Kat Sheely, who's the prime author of this report, is here in the audience, as they have published the effectiveness of practitioner education at increasing breastfeeding rates has not really been established. We don't really know if teaching people to breastfeed works. So the aim of this study was to find out if we did training just for hospital providers, would we make a difference? In Massachusetts, which is where the study is based, breastfeeding rates, we have a nice breastfeeding rate of around about 70%, but there are some communities in Massachusetts where the breastfeeding rates are actually lower than they are in Mississippi, which has one of the lowest breastfeeding rates in the country. And interestingly enough, these areas tend to be not what we might think of as classically low breastfeeding, which is nationwide would be among African Americans. In Massachusetts, the lowest breastfeeding rates are actually among white women of low socioeconomic status, and those communities have very, very low breastfeeding, lower than 30%. So we selected the hospital. We thought maybe there was some connection between the community's breastfeeding rate and the hospitals that serve them. So we selected hospitals in communities that had low breastfeeding rates and got funding from local places that were interested to increase breastfeeding rates in the area. And then we caught 5 different hospitals and offered them this wonderful free training program to their staff, and 4 of them accepted to take the free training. And the goal of the study was to determine whether clinician education in these hospitals affected breastfeeding initiation or exclusivity in the hospital, and or exclusivity. So what we did was we had a 12-hour course. We really drove ourselves crazy doing this. It was a very intensive education program. We were up at 6 in the morning driving to these hospitals all over the state. This 12-hour course involved 3 separate 4-hour teaching sessions, so basically 4 half-day sessions at each of the 4 hospitals. Attendance per the agreement with the hospital was mandatory for the nursing staff and for perinatal providers. I put mandatory in inverted commas because when we added up the numbers that actually came, it was clear that not every single RN in the hospital had been. But the hospitals did make an attempt. They filmed the presentations. They put it on different formats so that the people who missed the training came. But it was definitely not the sort of training where only the people who were interested came. People were made to come to these courses, and there were people there who did not want to be there. So it was a pretty good across-the-board education program for most of the nursing staff. And then we asked other providers to come as well. So we had MDs, and we had dietitians, and we had people from the local WIC program, but for them it wasn't mandatory. We were really targeting the nursing staff who have the most hands-on patient care, but we did have a big group of people. And we held these classes, these courses, over the course of an entire year. We wanted to make sure that this was having an effect, that we were doing this as a research project. We weren't just doing it as a teaching project. So we collected, we did a power calculation, and we figured out that across the system we would need a certain number of medical records before we did our teaching, and then a certain number of medical records after the teaching to be able to see if we had done made any difference to the breastfeeding rates. And we got the rates from the medical records. So we actually went in and we got the charts the institutional chart. We looked to see if the babies were breastfeeding before, and then we looked to see what they were doing afterwards. Obviously different children, but born at the same institution after the program. And we looked at any breastfeeding, exclusive breastfeeding, and exclusive formula feeding to see where the shifts were. And we included all the demographics that we could get from the medical record that we thought were relevant. These were some of the things that we taught. So we did an overview of breastfeeding in the state where we were at. We looked at it from the public health perspective of what these were the kind of titles of the talks, but shortened for you. Practical aspects. We did one on medications and breastfeeding. We did one about the history of formula marketing. We looked at counselling strategies. We talked about culturally competent care. In-depth problem solving, so we really looked at some of the hands-on issues that the nurses were having to deal with. And then we also covered some the breastfeeding National Breastfeeding Awareness Campaign, which was going on at the time. We also did some very medically based talks. We did one on hyperbilirubinemia. We did something about pumps and storing milk. Alternative feeding techniques. We took in equipment like supplemental nursing systems and nipple shields and things to show people what they were. And then at the very end, we had a brainstorming session where people could talk back to us about what they felt was needed at their hospitals. I will say that from my perspective, when I was at all of the training sessions, the one that was the most moving and interesting was the culturally competent care, where we had women come in who'd given birth in that hospital. And the nursing staff, or all the staff, were terrified because these women were standing up here and saying, you know, you delivered my baby, I remember you. And they were like, oh my God. And we had women from all different cultures talking to people. So particularly in these hospitals, we had a lot of Cambodian women and a lot of Hispanic women, Portuguese ancestry. And they were really, there was a huge amount of information exchange went on between the patients and the mom and the staff that had really never happened before on a kind of level playing field. Before, they were the patients and the staff were taking care of them. Here they were able to talk to them. And I think that was the most, by far the strongest part of the program. And it really had been designed because you always have to put something about culturally competent care, and when it came out as the most interesting and strong piece of the entire program. So when we looked at the data to see whether we made a difference or not, we did find that if you look at the overall rate, all the hospitals combined, we did have a statistically significant increase in breastfeeding initiation. So it went from 58% to 65%. But when we looked at them individually, and it may just be because the N was not so high in the individual hospitals, but you can see that we only actually had a significant change in one hospital. But there were clinically significant changes. Hospital A went from 59% to 68%. So overall, we did have a statistically significant effect on initiation. Exclusivity we didn't affect, and we found that interesting. Now, these rates were collected within we started collecting post rates at about 3 months after the 2 to 3 months after we did the intervention. So we collected everything right before, and then we left it for a couple of months, and then we started to collect the outcome data. So one of the possibilities is that some of this stuff didn't happen straight away. But we found it interesting that whereas we did seem to have an effect on initiation, we didn't seem to have an effect on exclusivity. And then we did a multivariable logistic regression, combining the hospitals. Oh, well, that's the same thing, really. That's just explaining what we did to see. One of the other very interesting things we found in the program was that we brought about some changes in the hospital system that we hadn't set out to do. Really, we just set out to teach people how to, you know, what to know about breastfeeding. And as I was mentioning, the culturally competent care was extremely interesting. And one of the things that we found, and we've actually published this as a separate paper about increasing breastfeeding rates in Cambodian women, we found that when the Cambodian women sat up here and talked to the providers, they said, well, we can't breastfeed in your hospital. And everyone was like, well, why not? Well, because if you feed Cambodian women a certain kind of, you know, they have the hot, cold system, and people have to eat hot food postpartum in order for their milk to be good. So if they come into your hospital, and we ask, so the nurses were like, well, what's hot food? What's cold? Well, cold food is salads, sandwiches. Basically, everything you're given postpartum in the hospital counts in the Cambodian culture as cold food. And the interesting thing was that these people would be talking, and they said, well, you know, they were breastfeeding for things that are completely out of the sort of normal mainstream American thinking. So they were breastfeeding for reasons like, my child will grow up to be respectful. That was one of the main reasons that Cambodian women were breastfeeding. If my child breastfeeds, he'll grow up to be respectful. But if, you know, if they eat hot, cold foods, they may grow up to be an axe murderer, so you're certainly not going to breastfeed. If your child's going to grow up to be really sick, or, you know, this is not something that's going to affect the baby next week. This is something that's going to affect the baby for the rest of the baby's life. So if you're feeding them an inappropriate diet, the mother, then the baby is not going to breastfeed, because this is really going to have a bad effect on the baby. So what they did at this particular hospital when they found this out was that they actually went out and they bought food from the Cambodian market. The chef went to the market with the Cambodian interpreters, and they got this delivered to the hospital, and they created a Cambodian menu for the hospital, which actually went into effect for the entire hospital, because they have a really high percentage. Something like 10% of their patients are Cambodian. And we then looked at exclusive breastfeeding rates, and they went up hugely, from like 12 to 60% in that population. So very small change, well, maybe not small depending on the kind of hospital, but, you know, a doable change made a big difference. And we're always talking about trying to improve rates among immigrants and or non-traditional groups that don't traditionally breastfeed, and this was one way to do it. Another hospital, this same hospital actually eliminated routine distribution of pacifiers, which had been given out to all women. They decided from our courses that this was not a good thing to do, so they changed that. And another hospital got rid of the formula sample packs that they had been giving out as a result of our education. Another hospital also got rid of the formula. We gave them a really strong talk about formula sample packs. Two of the four hospitals got rid of the sample packs after we'd been there. And they also replaced their breastfeeding policy by an ABM policy. And these are the sort of changes that may have made a difference later down the line, not in the 2 to 3 months after that we followed them, because some of these weren't even implemented at that point. But they made these changes as a result of the teaching program. So in conclusion, the breastfeeding education for clinicians does seem to have made a difference in the very short term to the breastfeeding initiation rates in these communities, in the hospital communities where the physicians and clinicians were taught. It also made a difference to maternity care practices, but we think that we need to figure out more carefully who came to the classes. We can't really tell you. We know the kind of rough percentage. Most of the people that came were nurses. We should have tried to get more physicians. In combination with the teaching session, we did have a physician do ground rounds, so we did have some hits at the physicians who didn't come to the actual class. And then we find that really we need to do maybe something more dramatic to increase exclusivity, because that was not something that changed with what we did in the short term, at least. I think that's it. Okay, do I have time to take a couple of questions, or do you want me to wait?
We'll wait.
Okay.